You know, it is quite fitting that we celebrate this, the Passover and all of that, in the spring. Yeah, it did. It absolutely got perverted by false religions. But there is new life. A little bit of water and that brown, scraggly grass that was in your yard is turning lush green, thick. It brings the life, just as Jesus Christ did. We're going to pray here in a minute for these things. I know Miss Judy shared with me, prayed for her granddaughter last week. And she told me today, she said my granddaughter did not have to have some other things done, and they removed 13 pounds of liquid from her. And she was going to have an operation. I think it was basically a hysterectomy, which was going to throw her into menopause. She did not have to have a full, so it does not have to happen. So God answered and God moved. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to pray for these things here today. We're going to believe for the mighty workings of God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you through that blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, that no matter what we've done, you see us this way. Father, we pray for Betty now. Lord, I thank you right now that you're bringing her this freedom from this pain. Lord, you're healing her body up from this surgery. Lord, you're bringing peace to her life, Lord God. You're surrounding her with people that will bring her life, bring that peace to her, not the worry warts, not the people, the naysayers, Lord God, but those who will speak truth and life. And Father, I also pray for Mary. I ask, Lord God, that you touch her knee right now in Jesus' name. Heal that thing in the name of Jesus. Reduce the swelling, Lord God, and repair any and all tears in it, Lord. I pray that you assist her, Lord God, in this and help her in these transitions in her life. And Father, we pray for Roger and Susan for safe travels to and back from Florida. Lord, I thank you that you're setting your angels round about their cars. Lord God, you're bringing peace to situations on the roadway that may otherwise turn nasty. Father, I thank you for wonderful weather for them as well. And Lord God, I pray for my brother. Lord, he's still healing up. But Father, I thank you that you're going to move in his life. Father, you're bringing peace and life to this foot. In the name of Jesus, we bind any and all bacteria, any and all infection in it. In the name of Jesus, life, blood to flow through it freely, yes, as it is supposed to, for the wound to heal up. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that we can live in this country, Lord, where we can come for the time being even and worship your name without fear of government interference, without fear of people coming in and hauling us off to jail. Lord, may we be witnesses, true witnesses to you throughout this world, but through this country as well, through our localities, Lord God, to our neighbors, Father, to those around us. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving. Lord God, you're leading and guiding our officials. Lord God, we may not understand everything that is happening, but we know you do. So, Lord, our trust is in you. It's not in the decisions of one man or many, but it is totally in you. And, Father, we pray for Pat and Brenda as well. Lord, I ask that you be with them while they're finishing up this task that they have to deal with. Lord, I pray that you give them peace. Give them strength, Lord God. Give them clarity of mind. Father, lead them to the things that they need to find. Father, I thank you right now that your protection around them while they're down around D.C. Lord, I thank you for peace for them in this and for John, Lord. And above all things, Lord, I pray that John cries out to you, that he surrenders his life to you. Lord, bring salvation to his house in Jesus' name. Amen. So this day, obviously, is, you know, from Friday, we start celebrating. We celebrate, and we remember the crucifixion. We remember him dying about 3 o'clock on Friday. By 6 o'clock, he was in the ground. Sometime early this morning, over 2,000 years ago nearly, he resurrected, giving us the gift of life. The Bible says that the temple veil was torn in two. This was a 6-inch thick piece of cloth. I have no idea how long it took to do that, but it ripped. And the Holy Spirit was freed. Jesus would even say later, but just hang tight and my Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be witnesses. Today's message might sound a little counterproductively titled. It's called Nothing is Really Free. This country we celebrate, we're free, we're free, we're free. But at what cost? What cost? I'm about to say, well, it's safe to say, everybody in here has somebody who either served for that freedom or died for that freedom. So it's not really free. It's something we are born with here in this country. That other people are willing to take the chance to sneak in. Whole nother debate. They want to be here. Because whether we like it or not, I say the people that hate the freedom that we have here, they can go live in the countries they want to. We will chip in and buy them a one-way ticket. Just like I will tell the people that want to try to go back to living the law, you can go to Israel and you can live the law there. I do not want to live the law here. Because I can't live the law. And that's why Jesus had to come. That new covenant, I was teaching you the other day about even the John the Baptist said that even now the axe is laid to the roots of the old system. Jesus was preaching a whole new gospel. Something that they didn't like. You're not subject to me. You're subject straight to God now. But under the religious rite, you were subject to the priest. There was really no freedom. They could come in your house. If there was an accusation brought against you, they'd come in your house. And we already know that they didn't care about truth because 2 or 3 witnesses was what's supposed to have carried the truth. Especially if you were charging an elder. But we have learned not everything is absolutely free. We've always heard said, if it's free, it's too good to be true. Because it is. I saw a recruiting board outside a Marine recruiting office the other day. It said free summer vacation to Camp Pendleton or to San Diego. That's the West Coast boot camp. Yeah, you don't want to go to San Diego. Not everything's absolutely free. Only to find out there was a price to be paid. As I just said, some of us have family who were killed in combat. Many of us have served or have family who has served. This is true for Christians. We have told people for many years that salvation is free, but it did cost someone. True, it is free to receive, but it had a price with it. The only innocent person to ever walk the planet. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Some modern translations put the word "free" in front of the word "gift." It's a free gift. Typically, gifts are free. It's kind of redundant in my opinion. But the reality is, while it is a gift from God, I think the word "gift" is a little misleading on that, because it costs you something. We freely receive this gift. We freely give this gift. The reality is, we exchange one life for another. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ as an adult, understanding what I was doing, I told God, by doing that, I want to live by what you want. I had already tried to live according to what my dad thought my life should be. Tried that route. You ever get your hand slammed in a door or something? That's what happened there. I'm like, for crying out loud, the cards are stacked in my favor with the union. I should be able to get in. Crickets. The only job offer I got was 2 days after my truck blew up. And the job was in Westerville, and I lived closer to Fredericktown. And it's like, well, that door shut. So I did it, tried to do it everybody else's way, and then God said, "Now, you gotta listen to me." So in my desperation, because I wasn't listening to God, in my desperation, I said, "I'm finding some freedom outside of Morrow County." God took me on a journey. You've heard this time before. But when I said that on that beach on the north end of Okinawa, I said, "Lord, I want to know you personally." I knew there was a cost. I didn't realize what the price was going to be. I would give up, ultimately, my dreams, only to find my dreams. It didn't come about the way that I thought it was going to come about. Things didn't happen the way I thought they should happen. But by surrendering my life, he gave me his. He made it easy. I talked to people that started businesses. That was my goal, was to be self-employed. I started a business simply by telling one person, "Hey, I'm going to start painting. I've got a paintbrush. I've got a paintbrush. I'm going to start painting." Didn't have a ladder. But you know what did happen? Spring cleanup happened. I found two ladders in the trash. They weren't the safest. The one, once you got above the third rung, would start to twist. I saw very quickly why they got rid of it, but I still used it. God took me from just having one little tool to somebody giving me tools that I could do other things with, and I kept going and kept going and kept going. And God always brought me the next job once I learned to trust him. See, it cost me my life. Only to realize God was going to say, "All right, you're done with that. You can trust me. Now, I want you to start a church." Nope. Don't want that. Ain't heard nothing good about being a pastor. Only to find out that it was God's will the whole time. because I gave up my dreams. God continued them on. I said, God, you gave me a building to keep working on. I got help, but I'm got projects here and there and here. And by the way, the air conditioning is on. I don't know about y'all, but I'm starting to sweat pretty good. It got warm. But see, it cost me my life. To follow God's will cost you your life. It'll cost you what you thought he was going to do and how you thought he was going to do. Angela and I were just talking the other day about it, about how, you know, she felt called to the ministry years and years ago. She wanted to sing. She wanted to go to places and sing. We moved to North Carolina, and I don't know how long we were there. We joined a church, became members, and they made her the worship team leader. The youngest person on there and the newest person in the there, and they made her the leader. God started taking her to places and doing things. And then when we found out our church was shutting down up here when we moved back, and she's like, oh, now we can start our ministry. It was going to be At His Feet Ministry. She said, I'm going to sing. And I said, and I can give a little 10-minute sermon when I take up an offering. I can do that. God had other plans. She still sings. My plans changed. My life changed. A life that is filled with an impending sense of dread and doom. That's what we had. Without Jesus Christ, you have no hope of joy, period. You are merely happy or miserable. And those are simply emotions. Yay, the Browns won. I'm happy. You might be ecstatic. Such a... Oh. But you're happy. But what if they lose next week? They lost. Because it's based on the things, not something inside of you. The joy that I have amidst all of the turmoil that's going on has nothing to do with the natural world. I have found peace. I have found my joy in God. Jesus said, my joy, I leave you. I just told you this morning how he said, I have looked forward to this. He was filled with joy for what he was about to do. That couldn't be taken away from him, even though his body was starting to rebel. He had a joy in spite of the circumstances that was about to happen. Our lives were destined to be without God for eternity. He chose to come as a man and pay a natural blood price for the redemption of all mankind. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, he who seeks, or if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He's not telling you to take up a literal cross. If God tells you to do that, there's a reason. I've known many ministers who have gone out, God told them to make a cross, and you carried around town and witness. That's for them. I had one person tell me, you need to go to London, and you need to carry this cross through the streets of London. I said, why? Well, it would be good. Okay. Eating breakfast right now would be really good too. But God didn't tell me to go to London. By that time, I had already developed a little bit more of a backbone against religious people saying, you need to go do this because it's the religious thing to do. I didn't take communion this morning out of religious habit. I took it as a reminder of who I am in Christ now because of what he did. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. You want your dreams to come to pass? Lose your dreams. Let them go. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm with you. I'm just hanging out here. I'm with the body. Wherever you need me, I'm going to use you. Or he's going to use us. Save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I just told you that. I found my purpose, my desire. And guess what? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reality was, I was listening to all the people that really were not called to do what they were doing. The person that said, I wouldn't wish this upon my worst enemy. I love him. He was like a big brother. But he's no longer a pastor. He refused to listen to God many, many times. Lost his church, shamed his family. And it wasn't for the first time. And now to this day, he is in a wheelchair, partially paralyzed because he wouldn't listen to the Holy Spirit. He was an awesome teacher. He's the one that helped me to understand forgiveness. When he taught that message that day, I thought I had it all worked out. Oh, yeah, ooh, praise God, I'm forgiving all these people. Lord Jesus, I forgive them. And then one of them came to visit. I found out real quick, I hadn't forgiven as much as I thought I'd had. God, and then, you know, God will hold your head underwater. You either learn to swim or you drown. Praise God, I learned to swim. And I forgave. And I began to forgive people more and more. And shortly after, I told somebody, an old friend of mine, I said, you know what? For the first time in my life, I feel like a mature believer. I feel grown up. 2 months later, God told us to start this church. It wasn't going to happen until I'd forgiven all of them. And there's a list. You got yours. They were on my enemies list. Sheldon Cooper wasn't the only one. We all have them. You have to lose your life. You have to give up your desires. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? So many people come out of high school. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I have a family member who said, I'm going to run for president. Still lives with mommy and daddy at 40. Yeah, I said I might vote for you back then. That's off the table. You can't live on your own at 40? There's something wrong. I mean, for crying out loud, we got a 19-year-old. He's like, he's chomping at the bits. I'm like, son, you're the only one here. You have 400 square foot bedroom, your own bathroom. Think about this for a second. The amount of rent, and yes, we do charge him a little bit of rent. It's called responsibility. That little bit. I remember when Joshua moved out. He said, Dad, can I come back and pay that little bit of rent? Because his apartment was $600, not the $100. On top of his electric bill, on top of his water bill, the gas bill, trash. Oh, man. But you know what? He's chomping. I'm glad. But I told him, I said, just hold on. Let God bring the place. Don't just run out and jump into the first flea-bitten hotel that you can find. Because unfortunately, Joshua's first apartment, they had to flea bomb it. And the guy downstairs was the one that had the fleas, and he owned it, so he wasn't taking care of them in his apartment. So they just kept coming up. They fortunately were able to move out. Sometimes you just got to put yours on hold. I look back and I think, man, God, why didn't this? A lot of things that happened in my life, God didn't orchestrate them to happen. But the things that he stopped to keep me from moving on, he did. I had the job on Sunday, the day I graduated high school, I had the job. That night, I didn't have a job. They told him not to bring me in because they were hiring somebody else. Fine. I had other job offers. And I look back and I'm like, why didn't I take that? New River Electric. The owner wanted to hire me. Big electric company down in Columbus. Why didn't I do that? Oh, wait a minute. Wasn't God's plan for me? He didn't let that settle. The only thing that he never took completely away was the Marine Corps. But to lose this life we have, all the guilt, all the sorrow, is nothing in comparison to what he gives us. The dreams I gave up. Oh, I thought, oh, Lord, right out of high school, I was going to buy a new Ford Ranger. Had my job lined up. I was going to go out and get me a new Ford Ranger. First, it started out being a Suzuki Samurai. Thank God that passed. Because I would have rolled it, I'm sure. And I'll get this Jack, this nice four-wheel drive Ranger with the roll bar and the KC lights and all this stuff. Be cool. Didn't get the job. That spring, my grandpa gave me a pickup truck. 1971 Datsun. With a blown head gasket and a wrecked fender. I worked on that truck and worked on that truck. That truck was the truck that blew up when I got the job off. Called in for an interview. Well, I can't make it, so let's just not waste our time. God had other plans. I look back at my life now, I wouldn't trade it. Oh, but you could have, you'd have had all this, you'd have had all that. Yeah, and I'd have never trusted God completely. Trust me, when you become self-employed, you're responsible for bringing in that money. You think about things a little differently. There's a joy that comes with it, and there's a lot of stress that comes with it. Yeah, Nationwide Mortgage, I ain't going to be able to pay my mortgage this month. I'll try to get you next month. Nationwide Mortgage, I can't pay it again. But by trusting God, it was over. I never missed another payment and actually caught up on my payments before the fourth payment. Because God brought work. He just said, you need to trust me. Giving up our life is not a hard thing. It's difficult. But what the rewards you get, I can't imagine what I'd be like. I'm really not a mean person, per se. I can be. I'll admit it. When I talk with my siblings from time to time, I'm like, oh yeah, I was kind of a jerk. Maybe wasn't the sweetest guy I could have been. I wasn't out looking to hurt people. But if you'd hurt me, I was. I'd have no problem slicing all four of your tires and walking away. But God changed me. He said, let me have vengeance. Okay, Lord. You know, that's really a hard thing to give up, isn't it? You want revenge. You want to get even. He said, vengeance is mine. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can't control vengeance. It doesn't just stop like it does in the movie. You look, oh, he got revenge on him for his family. It didn't stop there. He changed. Who he was changed. But I'm going to tell you right now, with Jesus Christ in my life, the day that I said, here it is, use me, God didn't come down with a whip and start beating on me saying, you need this, you need that, we're going to take it all away from you like the church does. You can't watch Bart Simpson anymore. I don't watch it now either. But why is it we want to try to clean people up right away off the bat like that? We want to try to make them us. Steve Taylor did a song back in the early 80s called I Want to Be a Clone. That's the way the church was becoming. No, you need to be like me. You need to go through the course. You need to understand this. Oh, there's things we need to understand. It's called making a disciple. But you know what? You can tell people about Jesus without having to go through a course. It's called witnessing. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be witnesses. We're afraid to receive the power of the Holy Spirit because back in the day, everybody said, you need to be like me. I don't want to be like you. I went to one church, you had to wear, if you served, you had to wear a tie. Kind of killed my 80s outfits, man. I still rocked it. Thank God for that little skinny leather looking one. Did that make me holy? No. The suit today doesn't make me holy. What Jesus did makes me holy. Jesus said, be like me. He forgave. He was long in patience. I mean, come on. The man was having a stress attack in a garden, praying to his father, Lord, take this away from me. God said, no, there's no other way. The life that you are going to give up is a life you can give them. I'm not described by who I was before. And quit letting people tell you who you were. You may not be walking on water yet. Arrogantly one time in youth group, I said I would. My youth leader, knowing me, said, it can't be frozen. Well, we'll see. If God needs me to walk on water, I believe I can. That's just all there is to it. If not, I know how to swim. Your past is not held against you by God. What Jesus did when he said, not my will, Father, but yours, is what made him worthy. Because how many of us would have said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. As you look at the person who stole your cat, stole your boyfriend, girlfriend, I'm dying for them. They're garbage. Jesus was sitting there looking, not sitting there, hanging there looking at the Roman soldiers who just drove those spikes through his wrists. I saw something, I'm going to wrap up. I saw something yesterday that actually said, people, we have the thought that the nails are what held Jesus to the cross. It wasn't. It was you. See, he could have come off the cross. He could have just come right off of it. When I was in youth group years and years ago, I think I was still a senior, I drew a poster for Easter. And I drew the bloodiest Jesus I dared draw. Beat up. He tried to make him look like hamburger. Now I find out that wasn't even close enough. But in the picture, he's hanging on the cross between those thieves. It was back in the day when I could still draw. And up in the clouds, I drew warrior angels. And somebody said, "Why'd you do? Why? Who are they? They weren't there." I said, "Yeah, they were." The Bible says he could have called legions of angels to destroy the earth. Destroy the earth. That's pretty powerful. We have the opportunity every day to get up and live like Christ. That's what I want you to do. Don't live according to your own selfish desires. Yeah, you're allowed to go get your own meal. You're allowed to do things. God doesn't tell me I can't do this, can't do that. Sometimes he says, "I wouldn't do that." And when he says that, you better listen. Just stay put. But if you want ham, bless that ham. You eat that ham. I know I am. If you don't want to eat ham, then you bless your food anyhow. All right, I'm done. Let's stand. I know they had an egg hunt next door. I was told this morning, "You have got to give me some time." I said, "Well, I got a little bit of notes." So, when Jesus told us to pray for those who spitefully use us, I don't know about you, but that's really hard to do. Because like I said, there's that whole vengeance thing. Lord, I just want to box their ears. You know, just one. Give me one side. Can I just have the right one? Nope. Love them. I'll deal with them. And you know what? I look back, and he always has. Not when I thought he should have. I was expecting it like 10 minutes later, not 10 years. He wanted to make sure I gave it to him. And then he wanted me to pray for mercy. So much for joy for revenge. I don't get my joy in the revenge of those now. I pray for mercy. That's a joy I found. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we give you our lives. Father, we surrender our dreams, our desires. Lord, I pray right now that you help us, that you help us all to walk with you, not against you, not in our own ways, but to find that path that you have for us. Lord God, we thank you that because of what Jesus did, we are now the sons and daughters of God. Lord, take our lives and use them mightily. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. I bless them, Lord God. I bless them going in. I bless them going out. I pray, Father, that you move in their lives. Remove the obstacles and shut doors if necessary. In Jesus' name, amen.